Isn't God good? Oh, come on, we can do better than that. Isn't God good? All the time. Somebody said it. God is good. This morning I want to take a few minutes to talk about the body of Christ, the church, the community of believers, whatever words you want to put to put that together. And a lot of times, let me clear up something. A lot of times, church growth and church health are always thrown together. So when you think of a large church that has a lot of people, you automatically just seem to tend to go to that a healthy church. And I want to tell you that's not necessarily the case. And then and in a smaller church, you think sometimes they're not healthy. And I'm telling you that in a small church you can be healthy, because numbers isn't what makes the church healthy. Numbers isn't what makes the church making sure that they're plugged into what God has for them. Now, I will say this. Healthy churches will see things happen. Healthy churches will have God moments. And that's what's encouraging to me as pastor of this church. Is that we're having God moments. When somebody stands up and just can't help but give a testimony on God's goodness or what God's doing, that's a sign that God is doing things. When you see the unexpected things going on, and really, I'd use this as an example again, and you'll probably... Did I tell you it was written on? That, you know, with that wall, that at first we thought that could be very serious for a church our size to get an engineer and to maybe have to change a whole bunch of structural things going on, knowing that the reason that it happened was because it wasn't built right in the first place, is kind of mind-boggling. Oh God, you know, this is you, you know. When they throw numbers around of $20,000 for a smaller church, that is astronomical amount of money to even think that you would have to come up with. But God is good, and meets needs, and sometimes takes us to that edge. Ever been to the edge with God? Is not sometimes it's kind of like Pirates of the Caribbean. You know, you're just waiting to go over the side, and you're not sure what's going on. So this morning, when I say about community of believers and healthiness and the church, I really want to look at it from what God says, and then make our own decisions on where we're at. When we see things happen, we know God is in it. When we begin to tell others and invite people to see what God's doing, then I believe that we're moving in the right direction. So we spent several weeks now kind of looking at the Acts of the Apostles, kind of looking at from the time of Easter, we kind of looked at those 40 days of where Jesus walked before his ascension and what happened in those 40 days that changed people's lives. And the verse that we've kind of hung to is, yet to all who receive him, to those that believe in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. That there's a receiving, there's a believing, and there's an act of stepping out, and there's an act of understanding that it's a privilege to be a part of the body of Christ. It's a privilege to be in the kingdom of God and to be able to do something. And I want to say this, to live out your faith is intentional. Do you hear me this morning? To live out your faith is intentional. To live like a child of God, you need God to be able to help you do that. And for us to live as a child of God when our nature we inherited by sin is to not live like a child of God, is to be intentional. And that the choices that we make are intentional. The choices that we make will be for eternity. And I've said it, you know, I've said it and I believe it with all my heart. You can't live a godly life without God. You know, that's one of those no-brainers. But, you know, when you stop and you think about it, we have people every day trying to live for God without God. It's impossible. It's as impossible as standing in the garage and saying that you're a car. Just because you're in the garage doesn't make you a car. We're sinners by nature. We're sinners on a path of destruction. And without God, that's where we're headed. We need God. Without Him, we can't do the things that we need to do. Without God, we cannot do for ourselves what is needed to have eternal life, to live that empowered life. So we need God. And when Jesus says, "Follow me," when He turns around, He expects to see us. You know what I'm saying? Jesus didn't say, "Follow me," as a suggestion. He said, "Follow me." He says, for churches to be a body of Christ, you need to be following Christ. So when He looks back and even seeing church, a body of believers, He's saying, "Follow me, be in unity, be walking towards the things of God." I think it's amazing because God instituted the church to be this place where believers, a body of believers, comes together, comes to be instructed, comes to be encouraged, each one being a part of it. And yet we have some Christians that treat church like a punishment. Do you hear what I'm saying? A punishment to come into the house of God. Instead of being a blessing, they treat it like a punishment. Some never get past. And I'm talking about the church universal. So trust me, I have nobody in mind. I have no church in mind. I'm not talking about our church. I'm talking about church in general. That some people never get past the fact that they think God gives these instructions to take our fun away. Do you hear what I'm saying? But really, what God gives us is instructions, and if we live those instructions, being a Christian is fun. Being a Christian is fun. Being a Christian doesn't mean that you have to live this boring life. And in fact, if you're living life like a lemon, you're missing out on how you should live your life as a Christian. Some never get past that. And a community of God, made up the people of God, we should come with this heart of expectation every week. I said last week, what would this community look like if five of us would get on fire for God? And we would change the community. I'm telling you, you would change the community. People around you would know. If you were one of the five, they would know. I don't know what happened to so-and-so, but he or she is on fire for God right now. And would draw people to, right after the shock, probably. What would it be if a whole church did that? Could we make an impact? Sure we could. We would make a big impact. Like I said last week, God would be glorified and evil would be horrified. All because God's people decided that they were going to do what God called them to do. When Jesus said, "Wait, be empowered by the Holy Spirit," there was a reason for that. Because they messed up all in themselves when they went out and tried to do things on their own. So Jesus, in His wisdom, said, "Look, wait. I'm going to give you some help because you can't do this on your own." Romans 12 tells us, verse 1, says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters." There's an urgency there. "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." There's an urgency. He tells us that He wants us to be a living sacrifice. He tells us He wants us to be transformed. Evidently, what we are in ourselves isn't enough. He wants to transform us. He wants to renew our minds. He wants us to be able to understand and test and approve the things of God so that we would know where the will of God falls in our lives. Did you know God don't want a dead offering? Can I just say it like that? God doesn't want a dead offering. The day of throwing an animal and burning him up on the altar is done. God wants us to be living sacrifices. He wants us to be transformed, to not be of this world, living in this world and renewing our mind so that we don't think like we used to think, because we're allowing God to be in our lives, allowing God to transform our lives. Too many dead offerings are being sacrificed to God in the name of being one of his disciples. No transformation because, now listen to me, and I believe this is the church universal. No transformation because most people are trying to see how close they can get to the line and still do their own thing. You hear what I'm saying? Trying to get so close to the line that, you know, of what God wants you to do, and so close to the line of the world that, one, the world can't tell the difference. And we're not being transformed. We're not making that impact. He tells his followers to love God with all their heart, mind, soul, and body, and to love others wholeheartedly. In fact, he goes on to say, do what is good and be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. And I think as a church, again, universal, we have a hard time loving God because we think he's taking away all our fun. And if we would just begin to serve him, we would understand and see that being a Christian and being a follower of Christ is fun. And then also that we have a hard time loving others. So many churches and so many bodies of believers are at odds with each other. So many fighting over carpet, fighting over who said and who should be in charge, and you know, coups and takeovers and all kinds of stuff going on, and we miss out on what God wants. The only thing that we don't have a problem doing is loving ourselves. You should have heard some amens. Everybody's still out there, because that really is the case. Because when you come into the church, when you come in to the body of Christ, you know, the word says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, share with the Lord's people who are in need, practice hospitality. That's love in action. Do you hear me this morning? That's love in action. And don't get me started about meeting people's needs, because I think what we have is just this holy huddle sometimes of just trying to influence the people that are right around us, and we're not really caring what's outside of our realm, outside of, you know, what we have contact with in a daily basis. And I think we're missing it. I think some are so afraid to come into the house of God because they're afraid that God's going to ask for so much money that they miss a blessing on what God wants to do. You say amen to that? Have this preconceived idea that the only reason God would want you to come into his house is so that you could bring your checkbook or your wallet. And when you come with that kind of an attitude, or if that is the attitude that keeps you away, do you realize how much you're missing of what God wants to do? It takes money to run the kingdom of God, but my Father has a lot of money. And he will meet needs, and evidenced by the wall, evidenced by meeting the needs and being able to reach out into the community. When we walk into the church, or if we have the wrong idea of what church is, we miss out the blessings of God. I mean that with all my heart. We miss out the things that God wants to do in our lives. When we come into church thinking that, what can the church do for me? We've already missed out what God is saying. Because in the body of Christ, we come together, one, to strengthen and encourage and help one another, and to reach a community that needs to know Jesus. So when we come into the church, it shouldn't be, God, what can you do for me? It should be, what can I do for you? And when we come with that attitude, we don't have a bigger shovel than God. And He'll meet those needs. He'll make things happen. He will prove that He's God. We believe that the only one who has to go out and preach the word is the preacher or the leaders of the church. When we change that, and I believe it is changing, I believe that with all my heart, and I'm not saying Rosedale this morning, I'm saying the church universal again. When we come with an attitude that it's not only the preacher's job, it's not only the paid staff's job, it's not only the board member's job to reach souls. When we get to that point, we will see people. Because other people go where board members, preachers, paid staff can never go. Into those factories, into the schools, into your families. When we lose the fact that I'm not as bad as the next person, I'm not as bad as those people or that person, when we look at ourselves as a community of believers that are sinners saved by grace, we will see God do some tremendous things. That is what God's word says to us about being a living sacrifice. Being different than the world, but yet in the world. How do we do this without God? You can't. We certainly can't do it without God. He tells us that we're to come together. We're to be the body of Christ. We did a reading this morning that tells that each one of us has a part. I often say, every time I preach this message, to some degree where I says everybody coming together, I'll always have somebody, well, I don't know what my gift is. Well, let me tell you, stop and see me. If I talk to you long enough, I will be able to discern what your gift is. We cannot do that by avoiding the things of God. We cannot do that by coming into God's house and not desiring to be encouraged and be instructed and be led. And if you don't believe me, this world thinks they don't need God. You hear it every day on the news. I don't know how many times that Becky and I in the morning will have the news on and we can only take it for so long. And you got to turn it off. It's like a broken record just with a different person saying something. So, you know, this world has convinced itself it don't need God. And yet road rage and anger has gotten out of hand. The things people can do to one another, to countries, just sitting on the easy button. Just go ahead. Dare me to hit this button. Dare me to go to war with you. And you don't think that they need God. There's more things going on in the world than we can even imagine. The total disregard for life, whether it's in the womb or what we're seeing in the streets today. It used to be when I grew up in Milwaukee, and I've shared this before, it used to be that we would just have a good fist fight to get home. Now they can shoot you from 100 feet away and you won't even know what hit you. And yet there's no regard for life. Would kill somebody on a corner just because they're on a corner. Or you see somebody that just shoots up a police car just because they're a policeman. Not that they did anything to them. Just because they're a policeman. Running into religious buildings and services just because they can. This world needs God. This world needs the Lord. This world needs a change. And then you see pregnancy is high and love for mankind is low. You see a world that tries to create that God's word is irrelevant. It's more relevant today than it's ever been. And if you do by some chance believe there is a God, you have this audacity to just think he must be a loving God and doesn't care what I do. Which means Jesus didn't die for nothing. He's a holy God. And he desires for God's people to live the life that they're supposed to live. So what is the church? What is the community? I'm having a hard time here. I know I'm making noises for everybody, so bear with me. So, you know, what's the church? What is the community of believers? What makes us different? What should we be doing? You know, when I thought this would be my definition. It's a body of believers made up of different people. And let me tell you, some of you are different. With different gifts that are in unity to be more Christ-like. Can you say amen to that? That really is the church. Different, peculiar. Look to the person next to you and say, you're the one he's talking about. You want to talk peculiar? Just look this way. I'm peculiar too. But to accomplish the things that God has set out for us. Let me quickly just give you a text here. See, some of you are going, oh no, it's 10 to 12 and he's just going to the text. Hang in there, hang in there. Who loves you? Romans 12, starting at verse 3. For by the grace given me, this is Paul writing it, the Apostle Paul. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same functions, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs all to the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. The Apostle Paul records this, talking about a functioning body. What would they look like? He lets us know that he wasn't perfect. We're not perfect, so we can get all past that. And I remember the first time I candidated and Grace, we still laugh about it. I said something to the effect of, you're looking at me, I'm looking at you, let's get past this and see what God says. Well, that really is what the Apostle Paul is saying here. He's saying, look, we're the body of Christ. We all have different gifts. We have all different things that we should be doing. So let's get past the imperfection. Let's get past trying to pretend to be somebody that we're not. You know that God can't bless who you pretend to be. He can only bless who you are. And we got to move forward with that. That each and every one of us that professes Jesus Christ as Lord has something to do in the kingdom of God. Teach, preach, give, show mercy. Whatever it is, he tells us to do it cheerfully and faithfully so the kingdom of God will grow. Christian community is more than cookies and milk and church dinners. And I love that, let me tell you. But it's more than that. It's a time that believers get together. It's a time that we plan how we're going to reach out into this community. And when we have the freedom, hear me this morning, when we have the freedom to let everybody know we're not perfect, it is attractive. Do you hear me this morning? It's attractive to know that when they come in that they are not expected to be perfect. They're expected to love God. It's a place where broken people come. Aren't you glad for that? For what Jen said a couple weeks ago about being in a church that said broken people aren't welcome. Man, that has sat with me for a couple weeks since she said that. What part of the Bible doesn't God deal with broken people on a regular basis? Inviting broken people to come into the kingdom of God. In fact, he says if we'll confess our sins or confess our brokenness and our shortcomings and acknowledge that we're not perfect, that we could be saved. Did you know God doesn't save good people? He saves sinners. Ones that confess that they are sinners. A place where we can confess our sins, come broken, be in freedom, come and pray, come and serve. Inviting Jesus into our lives and to be a part of what we're doing and what we're desiring to do for God. Last week we talked about the Holy Spirit. We can't do this without God. We can't do this without the empowerment in the Holy Spirit. You can't even get up every Sunday and get here on time if it wasn't the Holy Spirit helping you, because I know there are some days I want to stay home and I'm the preacher. Because God just allows us to have the strength and the ability to do what God's called us to do. Making sure this morning that we understand what the body of Christ is. It is for the hurting. It is for the broken. It is for those that are coming with a heart of expectation, believing God to do something amazing. The community is a place of worship. Let me tell you something. God has spoke to me more times in worship than when I just sit out and say, "Oh, God, help me." It was in that time of worship that God has ministered to me the most. As I lift up the name of Jesus, He begins talking to circumstances, talking to situations. Community is a witness to the world and a place of invitation to the world. And the community, the church, is a place to serve. Let me share one more scripture with you. Hebrews 10:24-25 says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are that in the habit of doing, but encourage one another." Paul's talking to the church here. He's not talking to unbelievers. He's talking to believers that struggle, and he's saying, consider how we could help each other. Consider how we can be an encouragement to each other. Consider how we need to meet together. We need each other. We saw that. We need each other. I need you. You need me. We need each other. Encourage each other. It's a place where needy people come together. It's a place where we come to worship and acknowledge God's goodness and come with a heart of expectation of what He's going to do. We didn't think of this. It's a God thing. Which is amazing, because we plan a service. I've worked very hard at a sermon. But the bottom line is, God wants to say something different on Sunday. I chuck it in a minute, because it's for the Lord. We didn't think of this. It's a God thing. Community of believers are blessed not because we're perfect, because we come together and we worship. And we're willing to allow God to take our hurts and take our sickness and allow us to experience the love of God. I think it's kind of funny, and I'll end with this illustration of flypaper. What would make me think of going on the internet to check what flypaper is made out of? Only God knows. But as I thought of what a good thing to illustrate how a church should be. See, a flypaper is nothing more than granulated sugar and syrup and anyways on a strip. And there's two properties of a fly strip. It should be, one should be sticky, and it should allow you to come together, and it's sweet. So I think, really, if we're going to make an impact on this community, the body of believers, the church, the community, should be sweet. It should be something. We shouldn't be road rage. Can you imagine coming to the door, first time you ever been to the church, and somebody barks at you at the door? Probably not a good sign that they're going to come back. But to be sweet, and then there's got to be something sticky that makes them want to stay. And I'm telling you, it's not programs and all the different things. It's showing the love of Christ. It's getting involved. Why I say it so much, and sometimes I feel like, oh, they just think I'm saying this because, you know, we're a church that could use help. We could always use teachers. We could always use this. We could always use that. And when I say that, I feel like, oh, they, sometimes they just think I'm out there trying to recruit. But I'm telling you, and part of it is, but the other side of it is, if you get plugged in, you're going to stay. You're going to be active part of the body of Christ. You have a responsibility. Something needs to be done. Something's going to get you out of bed when you feel like, well, today would be a great day to sleep in because all week has been tough. God is calling us as a church to be sweet and to allow the gospel message to reach out. That's really what the church is. And if we're going to ever see God do something amazing, it's what our community needs to see. They need to see it when we're slinging hot dogs. They need to see it when we have a community day. They need to see it when we have a church service and somebody comes in and you make them feel welcome and you make them feel like they can be a part of this and there's a reason that they would come back. Let me tell you, if a visitor came and nobody said hello, pretty good idea that they're not going to come back. No matter how great your preacher is. No. I can't even say that with a straight face. Sorry. They need to make that connection. They need to find someone to sit with. They need to find a reason that they need to come back. Say amen to that this morning. Father, we're grateful for what you're doing. And Father, I do. My prayer is that you continue to use us in this community. Continue to allow us to show the love of Christ. And I pray as we get closer to Vacation Bible School and the community day and the school bash and concerts and all the things that we have going on, Lord God, I pray that every bit of it would show this community that we're not just this little holy huddle that comes together on Sunday, but that we're a body of believers desiring to use our gifts that you've given us to reach out into a community and touch people's lives. We pray that we would not give the impression of being perfect, but sinners saved by grace and wanting to show people the mercy and the love of God in our lives and through our lives. We give you honor and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.